No public speakers.
You have got some apologies.
Yeah, can we have the apologies, please?
Yeah, so apologies from Councillor Andrew Toy, Councillor Steve Cazard and Councillor David Paul.
Okay, thank you. Then we go straight on to item two, confirm the signed correct record the minutes of the meeting of Finance Committee held on Thursday the 17th of August. Any questions? Otherwise, if someone has to propose.
Quite happy to propose, Chairman.
Thank you. And Ollie's a second.
Is that the first time we've put it there? Oh, yes, I'm chairing.
I
must have
been here.
Yes.
Oh, something's happened.
It's warm
without.
Great, thank you. Are there any matters arising?
I don't think so. I haven't had a chance to do any work on the those funny, you know, odd funds that we've got, the bus fund and different bits and pieces. I haven't had a chance to do anything on those, but it's still on my list, just quite low priority. So I will report back to a future meeting.
Councillor Williamson?
It's a relatively small amount. The red light doesn't come on here. Ah, there we are. It's a relatively small amount that's being held, and that was the trees for the avenues. I did look into that and look at any empty bits that might need filling. But what has happened since then? Well, I haven't got round to all of them. I've done a little bit, I've done some roads. But I then met the engineers who are from Openreach who are getting ready to install full fibre in the avenues. And they advised, until they finished the survey, that it might involve some disturbance to the footpaths and pits. They weren't sure at that stage, so it's just an element of uncertainty. So I think in the new year we will, especially when Openreach have done their assessments of what is needed, then I might be able to complete that, and then by then it will be spring, which is probably a better time to replace those trees. So I think that would be the way. It's a relatively small amount.
Thank you. Any declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations? Have you seen what's on the agenda?
No.
Resolve that press and public be excluded from part two. We have no part two. So in which case, it's the report from the responsible financial officer. Lisa.
Okey-dokey. So you've had the report. In terms of budgetary control, not much different to last time. There are a couple of cost centres that have exceeded the revenue budget for the current year, but in all cases, we were anticipating those either because we've accrued, so for example, the election costs, or we've agreed midway through the year that it was an extraordinary circumstances that warranted funding something out of reserve. So for example, the King's Coronation. Visit Exmouth, there are some current year costs that are actually funded through income that came in the prior year, so that went into reserves. And computer equipment, we agreed, as you know, that the tablets for councillors would come out of reserve. So there's nothing in there that I think we need to worry about. There'll be adjustments made at year end to reconcile where we're taking things out of reserves as agreed. In terms of the bank reconciliation, we've got a bank reconciliation here that somebody can sign in a minute, but the balances of our three bank accounts, are noted there. And then we've got funds in CCLA. You'll be aware that we agreed at the last meeting that we're going to put some more money into the CCLA Public Sector Deposit Fund. We haven't managed to do that yet. Because we are still in the process of updating the signatories on the Public Sector Deposit Fund that will enable us to make those deposits. So that money is still sat in our bank account. But as of the 31st of October, we had 2.3 million in bank account and investments under the name of Exmouth Town Council. Some of that's the minimum general reserves that we're required to maintain for operating purposes, earmarked reserves, which you've seen a breakdown of previously, and our SIL receipts currently amount to £974,000. So, and you'll know that, you know, there's an aspiration to potentially use that for the purchase of a building for Town Council premises. And then working revenue, so that's effectively what we've got to cover our revenue costs from now through to the end of March. You'll see if you look at how much we expend on a monthly basis, it varies between sort of £60,000 and £100,000. So the fact that we've got £325,000 left and we've got, what, 4-5 months left, that's indicating to me that we've got enough revenue to see us through to the end of the year. In terms of payments, so the payments that we made on a monthly basis from August to October are listed there. Just over 96,000 in August, but that included some extra money for infrastructure for the festival. 67,000, just under 68 in September, and 146 in October, but that included 2 payroll runs. So that looks high, but actually, given that our payroll is £37,000-£38,000 a month, it's not as high as it seems. Funds held on behalf of others, no different to last year, to the last meeting. We've still got that Funny Trees for Avenues, we've still got the Millennium Wood, we've still got the Coast Hopper funds, and those were the residual funds that we talked about trying to tidy up. And then the charitable trust funds, so we haven't had a trust fund working party recently, but there is work still going on. Charisse has been trying to sort out the final bits of paperwork that will allow us to sell the US vested shares. It's still proving a challenge, but we are getting there slowly.
We are closer than we were.
We are closer than we were, yeah. But the values of the funds, the ones that are invested are in the COIF Charity Deposit Fund, are listed there. We've also got £1,000 in the Teachers Building Society, and we've got just over 32,000 invested in an investment account with 7IM, which we're not yet able to receive the statements for that. And again, that's due to Lynn Elson and Tony Woodward still being the named signatories. So that's where we're struggling a bit. We're trying to get them updated so that we are in receipt of statements. And then in terms of the shares, so yeah, we've still got Keurig Dr. Pepper and Kraft Heinz US denominated shares, but we are getting closer to selling them. And some HM Treasury stock national savings bonds for the William Adams Westwood Trust. So not much difference to the last RFO report, really, except that we've updated some of the balances. Anybody got any questions?
David?
There was just one where you said year-to-date cost had exceeded the revenue budget. I see we've got SLAs in there, and I thought, well, how can SLAs exceed the revenue budget when we agreed them in advance?
Because when we agreed the SLAs in earlier in the year for the current year budget, mm-hmm. You'll remember that the requests exceeded the amount that we'd allocated, and we agreed that we would take some out of reserves because there was an underspend in the grants line last year. We wired that underspend into reserves, and we said that we would take so that we could honour all the SLA requests. So in terms of the revenue budget, it's showing it as an overspend, but actually that's one of the things that will come out of reserves at year end. Yeah. Okay.
And I guess on these ones where we have overrun, we'll obviously look at that when we do this next year's budget to see whether we need to increase that amount for next year, etc. So that'll be the process. Do you have Councillor Woodward, are you?
No. Any other questions? My other thing, and I know this isn't the appropriate forum, but the SIL money, is that time bound? Are we under any?
No, so we have SIL has to be spent within 5 years, But I have to generate an annual report every year that shows what we've spent and how much. It's sort of done on a rolling balance basis, if you like. So we are not at risk of losing any money at the moment. I did contact Ed Freeman because technically the £400,000 that we've committed to the Gateway project, which is bound by a legal agreement, hasn't actually left our account, so we haven't technically spent it.
Is that within that 900 odd thousand?
Yes.
Right.
We haven't technically spent it, but there is a legal agreement that covers the commitment, and Ed's view was that, you know, that would be satisfactory in terms of showing a commitment to spend that money, because it's covered by a legal agreement. So yeah, so it's fine. But it is monitored quite closely. It's monitored closely by East Devon District Council, and then it's monitored by us in terms of the annual report that we have to supply every year.
No more questions? No, thank you. Item 7, receive and approve the statement of income and expenditure and the reconciliation of accounts.
So again, I think that's self-explanatory. We've flagged up the cost centres that are over budget, and all the rest of them are pretty much on schedule, I think. The only thing I would say is that some of Chetna's cost centres sometimes look as if there's an underspend, because by nature, those bills don't come until the very end of the year. So, for example, the grass cutting contract that we've got with East Devon District Council, we don't get that in until March, April. Sometimes it comes in the following year. So it sometimes looks as if she's got a lot of money in her cost centres, but it's because we play catch up with the invoicing at year end. But other than that, apart from the ones that we flagged up as overspend, I don't think there's anything that particularly needs explanation. But if you've spotted anything that you want us to explain, happy to answer any questions. And just to say that we've started work on the budget for next year. We will be calling another budget briefing meeting to go through that in some detail, and where we'll be able to make adjustments to some of those cost centres as necessary for next year.
Can we have a volunteer other than myself and Ollie who are involved in the payments to check through the look at the reconciliation there? Just whilst doing Martin, Councillor Williamson, thank you. Year ending March, and is there one more of these meetings before then? I assume just the one
February.
I think that's probably quite a healthy position, I feel, compared to where we've been in previous years. No reason to splash the cash just because of that. However, I think that's in quite a healthy position. So, Exmouth Town Band, £1,400. Lisa, I think we did support the Town Band for something else, didn't we? The years blur, but I believe that we supported them for winter meeting spaces at one point.
We have supported them in the past. I can't remember exactly what for, but yeah, you might be right.
Okay.
Do you want me to see if I can find
it? I'd just like to make sure we know when we last gave them some funds and what it was for.
There was a reference to £1,000.
Yeah. I think it was for so they could meet in fixed to meet in the winter. Please tell us that. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at that. Are there any comments or thoughts?
I had one. Just looking at, I'm trying to scroll back to find it. They had some kind of statement, which
find it.
Seemed to reference something about £500 to see change.
Yes, I saw that.
And I thought, are we giving them £1,000 so they can give £500 to see change? And I'm trying to find it now.
I did see that as well.
Yeah, so the Town Concert Band had £1,000 in the prior financial year towards the cost of rehearsal space.
Essentially similar.
Same, yeah. So on this application, is it 1,400 that they've asked for? Is it 1,000?
Yeah,
it was 1,400.
1,400, which is basically their cost for...
rehearsal space, is it?
For rehearsal space, yeah. Exactly what they spend on that. It's in their costs somewhere.
I can't find. I saw the scene change thing myself.
And then I couldn't find it. I looked through the accounts to see if I could see the payment out, which would make sense then. I couldn't find it.
And I think so. Obviously. Happy to listen to anyone else. I mean, when I saw it, I thought, you know, first thought was that Town Band does a great job for the town, etc., etc.
Yeah.
My kind of query was more that it said the band assets currently stand at £10,800 up from £9,500, which seems, yeah, quite a healthy balance based on the kind of group's balances that we normally see here. But Councillor Nicholas.
We refuse to give any money to Pride 1 year because they did exactly the same thing, well meaning, but they donated money. And Sea Change is in Budbury actually. So I really don't think that they. I don't object to them putting in an application, but they're giving away nearly all the money that we would have. What they're asking for.
There's a reference to Sea Change takings on page 106.
Sea Change was in Budley.
It's on 103, it says, whilst a surplus was made of £1,821, £500 of this is held in favour of Sea Change and will be distributed.
Right. If we're going to donate that, I'd much sooner give it to an organisation in Hexham.
It may be, though, they may have had an event where they've had a bucket collection or something at the end, and they've received.
By Sea Change to raise money for them. Well, I think they should make that claim. That's why the money went to them.
I'm just surmising it might be something like that, but if they've held an event, they might have had a bucket donation at the end of the event. And said that they're going to make that donation. We'd have to ask them, I think, wouldn't we?
The bit that I don't quite grasp is it says costs continue to exceed income, but in which case, why, in my simple mind, why has their bank balance gone up? Or is that looking at it too simple? I don't know. Is that
a fair question?
Is that I'm just comparing their income and bank account to what we would normally support. That's all. Councillor Hall.
If you look on, I think it's page 104 in the liabilities, it says collections held for Sea Change.
Mm.
So I'm presuming that they've held a collection while they've been doing this or something. So it's.
I think we should definitely.
So it would be the same. It would be the same as when we have the mayor's charity events and we raise money for the mayor's charity.
Yeah.
It's a pass-through charge. It's not actually our money. But it's often temporarily in our bank account until we pay it out to the mayor's charity. I think it's probably the same scenario.
It sounds as though it's the same to me, but I think we do need to check, because obviously if there's money to be given out, as Councillor Nicholas was saying, it should be coming to experts, not Dudley, so we do need to check.
Well, the other point is, I go back to them saying costs exceeded income, but on that same very page it says surplus for the year £1,821, so... That can't both be true, can it?
Mm.
So, and then you've got any other comments, and then I'll sort of. Sorry, yes, Councillor David.
Yeah, I mean, It looks as though they have about £8,000 in reserves, but I think that's not unreasonable for an organisation that's holding on to £3,500 worth of instruments as well. Were those instruments all to be stolen or damaged or something, that would use up half their reserves just replacing them. So I don't think it's unreasonable for them to expect to have some reserves. Where I'm a bit more uncomfortable is I feel this needs an SLA rather than us just paying their rehearsal costs year on year. Because I think they're going to come back to us next year for exactly the same thing, and would it not be more appropriate to have an SLA?
So we would only normally consider it as a service level agreement if they were providing a service. So,
well, you could say they provide a service to the people of Exeter.
Yes.
You
know, so I was going to say, I think I mean they performed on Sunday at Remembrance Sunday, but normally a service level agreement is in recognition of, you know, a service that they are providing to the town. So, I mean, they've chosen to put in a grant application rather than a service level application because the nature of what they're asking to be funded, it relates to rehearsal space as opposed to concerts that they're providing to the general public. So, I wouldn't say that an application for rehearsal space necessarily comes under a service level agreement if you're being really pedantic about it. But I would say that their performance at some of the town events that we're now involved with, so, you know, Remembrance Sunday and other things, you know, Christmas events and things like that, I would say that very much is a service level agreement. But we've expended all our money on a service level agreements for this year anyway, so that won't be up for debate again until, well, April next year.
Maybe we should say to them, whatever the outcome of this is, that we need to with them about whether on the future an SLA is appropriate or not.
It's a lot of organisations, we don't tend to fund their core activities, do we, year on year? And I can see other organisations coming back and saying, well, you're funding their core activity of rehearsals, but you're not funding us to provide, you know, such and such a service. So I'm just trying to make sure that we have the right kind of status for this application.
I think as it's presented, it is a grant application.
Yeah.
I think if we were to consider it under service level agreement, then it would need to be in recognition of the performances that they make to the public, potentially as part of the events that we organise as a town council. Because there's normally some tie-in with the service level agreement organisations. There's normally some sort of relationship with us as a town council.
Like Exmouth and
apart from, so we've got the question around sea change, which I think needs clarifying, and I would like clarifying that the statements they've made that they've made a deficit yet the accounts show a surplus. Parking those things, would we be wanting to give them, if those things are resolved to our satisfaction, do we want to proceed with giving them the money? Councillor Williamson?
Well, my own view is that I think these are, as explained by perhaps the service level agreement, would not be appropriate in this particular. But there clearly is a question. It seems to me that from everything that we know currently, it is very likely that the seascape contribution is the result of a collection, but we're not sure about that because it occurs to me actually, I was talking to one of the officers at Camden respect to a choral society, not the Exmouth Choral Society, but the Cliffs Valley Choral Society, and they actually made it clear. subject to that clarification. I'm not sure we can do that, can we?
I think we've done that in the past, haven't we, where there've been matters. I wouldn't want to have them to have to wait till the next meeting, if in principle we're comfortable. Councillor Woodward.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, am I misunderstanding this? The grant, looking at the grant application section 4, so it's a grant request of
£1,000, yes.
Oh, where's that £1,400?
Because they've said that the total cost of the hire for the facilities is £1,400.
Nice.
That's what I thought I'd saw as well. And also, just in respect of their account, so I don't know where the why this, or perhaps you can explain what the confusion is here, because they're saying here that their total income was £832,259, their total expenditure was £65,000, so the surplus deficit is £1,800. And then, their assets and their liabilities and their accumulated fund. Where did you see that they'd made a loss?
They've written in the application that costs exceed. It might be their wording, but I think we should just clarify.
Okay.
So in which case, if it's £1,000, subject to those queries coming back, and we can obviously see what the answers to that are. I think we have a proposal and a seconder for £1,000. Councillor Davey and Councillor Woodward, all in favour?
Yeah,
that is carried.
So,
it's section 18 where it says currently looking at a loss in the region of £600. So presumably that's
for this financial year. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that might be the answer.
Because these are the accounts for the prior year up to March 2023.
Okay. Well, then that's fine. So
obviously we haven't got their income and expenditure year to date. So.
So if I email
and just say, I've just asked them to confirm that sea change was a collection. I'll email you all, and then you can just email me back and let me know if you're happy.
I think the SLA point is valid in that, you know, if they come back next year and want the same, so it might be worth thinking if there's a better way of doing it. But as we say, we're out of funds this year anyway.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And then on to item 9, no letter of thanks from the Hive. Thank you to the Hive. Thanks for notice. Item 10, so the current...
Also, the National Coast Watch Institution, they thanked us as well. Yeah,
fine.
Very nice letters from both of them. So.
item 10, discuss the current issues with Barclays Bank and the scope to open an account with the Unity Trust Bank. Lisa, I think you're...
Yeah.
Quite happy to talk about these issues.
Well, just that Barclays are driving us mad. So it's well known in our sector that there are very few banks that understand how we operate and what our status is as a local authority. And that's exemplified by the fact that we've had two business reviews sent out recently, which have put temporary holds on various aspects of our bank account. Alex has seen that. Warning notices flashing up all over the account. And then when you phone up, you get asked really silly questions like, you know, well, what's your status? You know, have you got a company's registration house number? What's your charity's commission number? It's like we're a local authority. Anyway, changing the mandate to reflect the new signatories is also proving to be an absolute nightmare. Zoe's been looking at banking and had independently made a recommendation that she didn't think Barclays were very environmentally friendly in terms of their investment policies, etc. So she was really keen for us to look at the scope to use Unity Trust Bank. And I did a little bit of... independent sort of research. They are really highly rated by lots of parish and town councils because it seems that they've set up an account that, you know, caters for our needs. The only thing is that there will be some bank charges, so the nature of the accounts that we've got with Barclays at the moment, we don't have huge bank charges. there will be some charges associated with Unity Trust. Not excessive, but the charging structure is slightly different. But having reflected on that, I think the amount of time, the hidden costs that we, Charisse and I, have wasted trying to resolve the issues with Barclays, I just think it would be wise to consider moving over. Now, if you agree in principle, we could get some forecasts of what the likely transaction costs would be to bring back. But it's quite timely because we're really struggling to get Joe onto the account as a signatory at the moment. And Charisse hasn't yet been added as an administrator, which means I'm having to do...
I'm on the same farm as Joe, so yeah.
Which means I'm having to do all the banking, which is a pain. So yes, just we think for two reasons. One, because of the ethicality, and secondly, just the administrative nightmare that we're having with them. We think the time is ripe to look for somebody new.
Yeah, Barclays have long had a poor reputation, and in fact, I was up at County Hall one day joining a demonstration for 20s Plenty, funnily enough, but there were several demonstrations going on, and one of them was XR urging Devon County Council to divest from Barclays Bank because of the kind of things that they fund which don't sit well with any kind of environmental concerns. We have two accounts with Barclays. One's a deposit.
Three, is it?
Mm. So we have the current account, which is always resolved at £5,000 each month, but has a lot of stuff going through it.
It's an e-payments account, so that's the one that we do all our BACS payments out of.
And then we have a deposit account, or two deposit accounts.
No, we then have a business premium account,
which
is like a deposit account. And then we have a community account. And the community account was established purely because when Barclays Bank introduced a new regime of bank charges, we were going to be hit quite heavily for a lot of the festival transaction costs. Because there were restrictions on paying cash in and that sort of thing. But to some extent, that's sort of no longer relevant because all our payments are now made by BACS, and this year we had far fewer cash donations coming in. The other thing I would say about Barclays is when we had a branch in Exmouth, when we did have any issues, we could go into the branch and we could talk to someone. Now we don't have there isn't one account manager that we can speak to. So if we've got a problem with the mandate, you have to go through the switchboard and you get put through to the mandate team. If you've got a problem with, I don't know, something else, you get put through to a different team. And so there's no one person that you can go to say help. And we can't pay any money in. I mean, we've got a cash deposit card that we can pay stuff into the post office. But if we want to do anything to do with the bank, when I had to cash a petty cash cheque last week, I had to go up to Exeter for it. So it was always Exeter or Honiton, since they closed the branch down in Exmouth. So we just feel that for a multitude of reasons, the time is ripe to sort of consider moving, really. We haven't done any in-depth analysis around the charging. We've started it, haven't we?
But yeah, from what I could see on a monthly basis, I don't think it would be much more. It was around 30% more, if that.
But we're not paying that much, are we?
No, and that's only if we're making an extortionate amount of payments. I was using the month where we made the most payments as kind of a benchmark for that. So, yeah, but that's as far as I've got currently.
What I was wondering was whether if we had a deposit account that got some interest, if that interest would cover the costs of running the current accounts.
Possibly.
So you're kind of breaking even on your accounts with that bank.
Possibly. I think they categorise it is a dedicated town and parish council account. I do think they understand more the way that we operate.
Yeah.
But there are thresholds, and the thresholds are based on the amount of turnover you have. And because of our turnover, we would be classed as a larger authority. So the charging regime is slightly higher, but I guess that's in recognition of the support and the number of transactions that we're making. I mean, if you're happy in principle, then we could do a bit more work on the likely charges, etc. It would need to go to full council as a recommendation.
Yeah, I think I've just got Councillor Williamson and Councillor Nicholas. Councillor Williamson first. And then
well, I was going to, I was proposing, I'd be very happy to second, because I think Lisa has given a very convincing explanation of why Unity Bank would better serve us. And Lisa's mentioned that other local authorities were using that bank.
National Association of Local Councils use Unity Trust as well.
I mean, that is a very strong recommendation. Mm. So if more work has to be done to make absolutely sure, I'm very happy to have a proposal second that that takes place. I'm also very conscious of the office of time, that arguing the toss with a bank that isn't really geared up to a local authority needs must take, and we can't afford that.
I spent an hour on the phone one day to them.
Three and a half hours to be told I couldn't be part
really
of the account.
There's a way of, we can avoid that by changing our account. I think wholeheartedly that's what we should do. In fact, actually, if Lisa was happy about it, I'd be quite happy to propose that we make that change.
Okay.
We make that as a resolution tonight.
Okay.
I'm quite happy for anyone else to qualify that and say, hold on. But I'll try that actually and see what.
Can we just take Councillor Nicholas's comments and then we'll come back to you for that if you
yes,
like. Yes,
thank you.
And I think Councillor Hall has something as well. So Councillor Nicholas?
I was looking on their website this morning and then going through rather than digit. The thing I don't like about it is their very strong ties into the trade unions. Now I just think banking and trade unions and constituents' money when they're paying out and that. I don't like the idea of the unions being
trade
as strong as they
thing.
Are.
Sorry? You say, trade unions are a good thing. They're not something to be worried about.
Trade unions, when they came in, were completely different things.
They're still off. They're still good. They still protect workers.
I think that the question
as an organisation, we can cover it.
The question
yeah,
I would
not
put
when they're controlling your bank account.
Well, the question I would put is I guess, on that more broad point, though, to Lisa, is what kind of, I suppose normally if we're taking out an organisation, there's like a due diligence procurement exercise. This obviously isn't that, but what would we want to document around why we've selected them? And do you see what I mean? What probably sounds feels like that is worth you bringing that. You said you were going to do further work anyway, but it kind of feels like that would be a sensible step as to why we're proposing them rather than anyone else, etc.
Yeah. So I think the main thing is just their ethics. That's why Zoe did a lot of work on ethical banking, and these were the ones that came out. I think the thing you've picked up about trade unions is I think it was the trade unions that helped to set up the bank in the first place, because they were struggling as well to find a bank account, I think, that met their needs. So it's developed into a bank account that has a very heavy focus on not-for-profits, but trade unions, charities and town and parish councils. I think that's probably what you've read. I mean, if you want to go away and read up about them, and we'll do a little bit more work on them as well,
They said that there are a lot of parish councils that belong to it, but there isn't a list of them. I went to have a look, trying to find it, but there isn't a list of who.
No, they're probably not. They're probably not allowed
to
disclose that information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's GDPR. They wouldn't be able to have a list of their customers available on the internet like that.
But I, on the clerks forums, I know that, you know, they're very highly rated because people are moaning on the clerks forums. People are moaning about Lloyds Bank, Barclays Bank all the time and saying, you know, anybody, has anybody got a recommendation? And everyone's saying Unity Trust Bank. And then I know that the National Association of Local Councils are using them as well. NALC have actually been lobbying all the main banks to up their game to better cater for town and parish councils because there's so many complaints about the way that they service us as a sector. There's 10,000 town and parish councils in the country, and you'd think that one of the banks, you know, would embrace that and come up with an account that actually works for us. But Unity Trust seem to be the ones that have come closest to it. So
I do think we need to do a bit of due diligence on them because just a quick look, there's been an instance in the past where, for instance, they had to be bailed out. So I think we should do some due diligence in that respect to be confident that there's capital shortfall had to be rescued by its holders. So I think we do want to do some due diligence because obviously we've got all our money in that one basket and the compensation scheme only goes up to a certain amount. So I think I would like to see a report. We don't have to wait to I don't want this to drag on, but I think we should have some kind of report which covers some of these areas
just to provide confidence.
I think it's due diligence. Sorry, I think Councillor Woodward, you had your hand up a while ago.
I should declare for interest, but I work for Santander.
No, I think you should.
Because I'm not recommending that, but I don't know if you want me to do any.
It's probably wise.
Ask anybody within our organisation what their attitude is to town council, parish council.
I don't think Santander offer an account for us. A lot of banks, you know, they need you to be registered with Companies House or to be registered with the Charities Commission. They don't actually recognise us as a not-for-profit. Yeah.
I
think just from my point of view, because it's great that it's a smaller ethical bank, but I guess that does pose additional risks in that, you know, in the banking crisis, the government obviously didn't let large banks fail, but smaller ones might. So I think that's just my point of view on that. Although I think overall, I think we're very supportive. Councillor Hall.
There's just a couple of things, really. I think from my own experience on a previous council, we had exactly the same issues with HSBC. Mm. I think the need to do the due diligence work is very important.
Mm.
Many councils in previous years were caught out with
Iceland,
banks,
yes.
So we don't want to be in that scenario. What I would recommend that we do is, bearing in mind that we already have financial dealings with the CCLA, who are hugely focused on local authority money and investments, ask them.
Mm.
They must have some idea of who they would recommend.
Mm, okay.
And I would support us changing our banking arrangements, but I would like us to have more than one option to look at.
So I think to say what you've got total support for changing the bank, but maybe just have
subject
a look.
Some more due diligence, that's fine.
Yeah. And if there are, I think it would also be good to also look at, as Councillor Hall says, why have we discounted a couple of other options?
Yeah.
Not war and peace, but I think that would be sensible. Just in the future, you never know.
That's fine.
Okay.
We can do that, yep.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
In which case, I think we're on to the final item, which was do nothing really, just to agree that when the next meeting was. So not quite record timing, but pretty good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.